And hello and welcome to the first episode, hopefully not the last, of the QB2 Streaming Experience Podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Salvatore Stefanelli, co-founder of 2QBs.com. On the line with me is our other co-host of this great, hopefully a great podcast, Jim Sands, the lovely Jim Sands of Number Fire and FanDuel. How are you doing tonight, Jim?
It is all good. Sal, what's up? How's it going?
Doing good. I'm excited and nervous to be doing this podcast because I spend most of my time saying no to being on people's podcasts. That's mainly a time constraint, but it's also just like I'm not comfortable yet being a regular speaker when it comes to this kind of stuff. So like I don't mind just being the guy in the background who just writes articles, but I figure it's time to, you know, do something in the podcast world. And when you came up with the idea to make this a podcast, I couldn't say no because that way I know, you know, JJ's a little jealous that you're my only co-host and he just has to deal with Denny every once in a while.
He gets the blessing of being with Denny every, I think you mean.
If you want to call it a, right. If you want to call it a blessing, I mean, we'll see.
But yeah, I mean, I was excited when you brought this up too, just because, like, I mean, I want to get any chance I can talk to, you know, get more exposure to quarterback leagues because I feel like it's an area where there's so much growth, and there should be growth, honestly, because when you look at the way the quarterback position is right now, with what we saw last year, it shifted so heavily towards streaming that it really does make sense to shift to a super flex league or a two quarterback league because there are so many valuable guys who are worthwhile fantasy assets who would just be sitting out there on wires if it were all one quarterback league. So I think that any way I can get into this, you know, this type of discussion, I'm totally game for it.
Yeah, and if people who do follow me on Twitter know that I kind of like two quarterback leagues.
You might be a fan.
Just a tad.
Yeah.
So it's good to get other people more involved in the format. I know people are still kind of resistant to switching over to two quarterback leagues. They kind of think there's just not enough quarterbacks or there's just too many bad quarterbacks, in which we will talk about many air quote bad quarterbacks throughout the season. But it's a great way to show just that, you know, quarterbacks become more valued in two quarterback leagues because you're not playing in a league where the waiver wire is like full of 10 or 11 guys you can just pick up and stream every week. You have to put in the time to research guys, time to, you know, put in the thought process when it comes to the draft, how that's going to be season long. Because, you know, if you're a newcomer to two quarterback leagues and you're drafting, like, oh, well, I'll draft Joe Flacco. And if he, you know, kind of doesn't do so well, I'll just pick up Andy Dalton later. Because who's going to draft him? But the thing is, like, everybody's going to draft Andy Dalton in all their two quarterback leagues. So you got to get that in mindset. So over the years, I've kind of just, though, spent time coming up with ways to attack two quarterback leagues and all strategies. And we hope that this podcast is going to be a great way to put more of an emphasis on the quarterback two, not just quarterback streaming in general, because in two quarterback leagues, it tends to be easier to stream that second spot instead of streaming both guys. So that's what our goal is with this podcast. And I think Jim has a few things he wants to talk about in terms of like what we look for in streamers.
Yeah, so I guess the big thing for me, just doing, you know, based on the research I've done for largely for daily fantasy sports, is that you can really gain a lot of value about quarterbacks and their fantasy value by looking at Vegas totals. And what that means, we're looking at over-unders, which shows the total number of points Vegas expects there to be for both teams in the game. The spread, which kind of says, you know, the Indianapolis Colts are favored by 3.5 points, they're -3.5, that type of thing. And then also the big one here is implied team total. And basically what that says is it uses over under and spread, and it tells you like the total number of points that the Vegas expects that specific team to score. So let's take week one, for example. If we're looking at the Colts against the Lions, the over-under in that one, these are all coming from NumberFire's games and lineups page. If you go there, it has a full rundown of all the games. It kind of highlights them. But the over-under that game is 51. The spread is 3.5, so the Colts are favored by 3.5 points. And what that means is Vegas is saying that the Colts are expected to score 27.25 points, and the Lions are expected to score 23.75. So obviously, you know, you're not going to be streaming Andrew Luck in a two-quarterback league, nor a one-quarterback league. But what Vegas is saying is that they expect the Colts to score a lot of points that week. And it can really be a good guide to see, okay, you know, this guy's team is expected to score points. You would assume the quarterback will be involved in some way in that. And it can really help you glean a lot of helpful information because, you know, it's shocking to admit this, Al, but the people in Vegas, they kind of know what they're doing.
I mean, just a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And you mentioned just like how you broke that down. For those of you listening to this podcast that don't really understand a whole lot in terms of like Vegas point totals, over under, or just how, like how in deep you can get with it, what Jim described is the implied team total, which is basically what Vegas thinks each team is going to do. And for people that kind of want a visual, a great way to research that is the NumberFire DFS helper page.
Yeah, and it really is a big help. I mean, basically what it has is it has a list of all the games, and you can scroll down it. And any game that has a super high over-under is going to have, like, a green background. And the implied team total, if it's a good one, will be in green numbering. So it kind of allows you to see, you know, at a quick glance, which teams are expected to do well. So as I'm sliding down the page here right now, I see the Houston Texans, who we'll talk about in just a bit, have an implied team total of 25.25. That's a really good implied team total, and that's something we should be targeting. And I think just you know, having that central place you can go to find all of them really quickly. If you're like me and not familiar with like betting sites, because I have no idea how to bet.
What is betting? We're not allowed to bet.
Right.
It's not a real thing.
If you ask me to do it, so I don't know how to do it. But if you don't know how to do it, if you're like me, just go to NumberFire, and they've got a lot of helpful ways to do so.
And we'll throw up the link in the show notes for people that want to go. And the great thing about it is that it is free.
Yes, exactly. Yep. If you're a premium member, there's a bit more useful thing called the heat map, which kind of sorts by implied team total and makes it even easier. But the free one is also pretty sick too. If I'm willing to, you know, pump up the company a little bit.
Company man.
Right.
So you mentioned no Vegas implied team totals. The next topic we're going to kind of focus on a little bit is like game flow, game script, negative script. So why don't you tell the audience how you factor that into your streaming research each week?
Yeah, so I guess, and this may just be like personal preference, but I really like to focus on floor when I'm streaming a quarterback. I mean, ceiling's nice. A good ceiling is nice. But I'd really prefer to have a guy who I can depend upon, and I'm not going to need to worry about their having, you know, this baseline expectation of points. And I think that the best way to avoid that is by avoiding negative game script. And what negative game script is essentially when a team is trailing by, you know, let's say 10 points, hypothetically. That means the defense can kind of pin their ears back. They can rush the passer, which means they get more sacks. And they can also drop more guys back into coverage, which, you know, allows more interceptions. And not only does that, you know, automatically deduct you points directly because you lose points for interceptions, but also it means that's one fewer touchdown drive you can get from your quarterback. And that all ties back into, as a whole, efficiency. And, you know, efficiency is so huge for quarterbacks. We want volume, but I think for me at least, efficiency is, you know, king in all of this. And avoiding negative game script, getting that neutral or positive game script when the game is either close or the quarterback we're looking at is actually heading that game, that's exactly what we're looking for. So we can get that through looking at teams that are either favored or in very close games, looking at Vegas totals again, and just making sure we're trying to avoid situations where our quarterback will be thrown from behind quite a bit.
Yeah, well, and the way we are going to focus this podcast is we'll talk about streamers we like and then one guy we kind of want to, you know, avoid or bench later on. But just to give an example for this to how Jim was talking about, just looking at the DFS helper page, the Seahawks have they're favored by 10.5 points right now.
Right.
And the Miami Dolphins have an implied team total of 16.75. Ryan Tannehill's been kind of a trendy offseason guy, especially in two quarterback leagues, just because his ADP was so low.
People
like his situation with Adam Gase. But when you look, if you go based on like implied team totals, spread, and game script, he's a guy that you would know consider benching, right?
That's vomit right there. Basically, what that 16.75 implied total means is that you need to start the opposing defense. That's exactly what it says. I mean, if you look at the point totals for teams that have an opponent implied team total that low, their scoring is off the heezy for defense and special teams. So avoid Ryan Tannehill at all costs. And if you're playing Daily Fantasy, you might want to get the Seahawks in there.
All right, so that's a bonus right there. We were talking about Tannehill. All right, so I think, okay, here's a question I have for you. How much do you factor into if a quarterback is playing at home or on the road?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a factor, and I definitely, again, in searching for floor, a quarterback definitely does have a higher floor when he's at home. But there are certain guys, you know, thinking about Ben Roethlisberger specifically, and, you know, Kirk Cousins at times last year, who will have pretty immense home road splits, and that's something that you want to check. But overall, if Vegas says that, you know, this person should do well, even though they're on the road, then I'm generally still willing to, you know, roll the dice with them, because Vegas is accounting for the, you know, the home road aspect. So for specific guys, I'm going to account for it more than others. You know, maybe if they play in a dome like Drew Brees, again, not factoring in streaming here, but there are certain situations in which I'll favor a home matchup more than others. But for the most part, if Vegas says it's okay, then I'm generally going to, you know, buy into that.
Perfect. All right, so I think that covers how we wanted to introduce what we're looking for in streamers, so it gives us a chance to just get right into it. Our first QB2 streaming recommendation of week one is Dak Prescott.
Yeah, and I think this one is interesting for me, Sal. I've got a couple of moral quandaries with Dak Prescott. We'll talk about those in a second, but let's just kind of first touch on why I think Dak is, you know, really interesting here. And if we're focusing, you know, going with the hashtag brand and focusing on Vegas here, it lines up really well for Dallas. Their implied team total is 26.25, and that's just beneath the Green Bay Packers, or it's tied to the Green Bay Packers, actually, and just ahead of the New Orleans Saints. And those are two of the offenses that I'm super high on for this week, and Dallas is actually above that. Part of that's a high over-under, but Dallas is also favored in this game, which means that Dak, in his, you know, his debut, should be able to avoid a negative game script. But also the matchup here is pretty good. You know, according to NumberFire's metrics from last year, the Giants' pass defense was 24th last year, and matchups really do matter a lot when we're factoring this in. So based on Vegas, and based on matchups, Dak Prescott is in a really good spot. And it's hard to blame them, given the offensive line there, you know, given the presence of Dez Bryant and Jason Witten and Ezekiel Elliott. There are a lot of pieces around Dak that kind of give him this really good floor, which I like. I guess, and I want your feedback on this, Sal, I'm a bit skeptical about Vegas's line on this, and I think a part of it could be skewed by the public being, you know, very interested in what Dak has done this preseason, which is something I don't put a lot of weight in. So I'm kind of worried that Vegas may be a bit skewed by the public here. Is that something that you would be factoring in this situation, or are you kind of all forces ahead with Dak?
I mean, it would be interesting to know when was the last time a rookie quarterback started in week one had such a high implied total.
No kidding.
Just to see what the results were.
Right.
Like I said, looking at it from a two quarterback fantasy football perspective, once like Dak went off this preseason, everybody's really high on him, because it's like, yeah, oh, well, if Tony Romo goes down, here's a guy that's going to be put into a situation you just mentioned. Probably the best offensive line in the league.
Correct.
Running back can take some pressure off. No, he's got the GOAT receiver in Cole Beasley and then Dez Bryant. He's got, you know, the brand sponsorship in Jason Witten at tight end. Like, those are things, like, situation matters for a quarterback in fantasy football. I know we don't really like to talk about it a whole lot in terms of, you know, talent versus situation. But at the quarterback position, we found a quarterback can be put into a good position. He might be, a bad quarterback in real life, but he has an opportunity to put up fantasy points. We've seen it over the years, the type of quarterback that have had top 12 performances, you know, the Casey Keenums of the world, the Austin Davises of the world. It does happen. I mean, it might be hard to wrap your brain around it, especially if you might be a newcomer to streaming or newcomer to quarterback leagues, but that's just the way you have to look at it, that anybody can have a good week on any given week except Nick Foles in week three. He's the only one we have to worry about. But, like, it does, you do bring up a great point. I didn't really think about a whole lot, but there has been a lot of hype on the Cowboys, a lot of hype in the public. I mean, I'm not sure how much fantasy football players have an influence on Vegas bookmakers.
Right,
but if
it
does, no, that implied total might have been like 30 or 35, especially if you ask Anthony and Nico what it should be.
Right.
But yeah, no, it makes sense. Like, you wonder, is that maybe a little, like, is it inflated? And it definitely makes a lot of sense. But at the same time, you mentioned just how bad the Giants' defense was last year. Cowboys are also at home. That helps.
Yep.
But like I said, the Giants did bring in a couple of pieces to make that defense better. So I'm trying to wonder, like, how much better is that defense going to be this year compared to last year? Because when you're looking at it from a weekly perspective, which most people tend to do, I know myself, fantasy football is a weekly game. The Giants gave up 8 top 12 performances to quarterbacks last year, which was the third most. Yeah, the New Orleans gave up 10, Oakland and Cleveland 9, and the Giants were in there with a group of others. So half of their games last year, a quarterback was a QB1.
Like, right.
From a fantasy perspective, that's gold.
Absolutely.
Like, you factor that into your decision. So
I think Colin Kaepernick may have been a QB1, like, right before he got benched against them. He had, like, a stupid second half. This could be totally wrong. So you don't even need to check it. But, like, he just went off in that second half, if I remember this correctly. But, like, you know, if Colin Kaepernick pre-benching could go off against you, Dak Prescott might be able to do so, too.
I think Dak's got a pretty good spot. Like, I'm going to wait to see what the Giants defense looks like a few games into the season.
Yeah,
like, matter how much of an emphasis you put on to quarterback strength of schedule, which I kind of do when I do my research because it's all part of it, thanks to our good friend Pat Thorman, his work at Pro Football Focus. And so for right now, I still consider the Giants like a bad defense until I get to see them in real significant action. So I'm going to side with Vegas on this one just because, like, they know more than me when it comes to this. But it's definitely something to consider if we see Dak Prescott go out there and, he just kind of, like, craps the bed. Maybe, like, the hype just influenced him a little bit and might be something to kind of take advantage of if you, want to not play Dak Prescott.
Yeah. And I should mention that I guess there's only really one team where I'm generally skeptical with the lines, and that's Dallas, just because it is such a popular team that, people, even if they are putting monetary things on the line, they're probably going to be swayed by their heart a bit. So,
and apparently the Cowboys are America's team. Like, we don't get football in Canada, so I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, that's the one team where I worry a little bit. But overall, I do trust Vegas quite a bit. And I think that, like you mentioned, I think that the situation with Dak is good enough where I'm willing to trust Vegas. And I think that even if Vegas is wrong, his floor is good enough given that situation to make him an absolutely worthy two-quarterback streamer.
I'm glad we started things off with Dak Prescott because in two quarterback leagues, we're always looking at quarterback depth charts to see who the next guy is going to be.
Yeah.
And because that news broke, like, so late into preseason, like, he wasn't really being drafted a whole lot because a lot of two quarterback drafts were being gone. So he was either, like, a really late round flyer pick or someone people picked up off the waiver wire. And there are going to be a lot of people this week deciding if they should start Dak Prescott or not. So in terms of, our QB2 streaming recommendation, we're both on board with Dak this week.
Yeah, I'm fully on board, and I'm nervous and excited to see how it goes on Sunday.
But when we start this podcast next week and we're both basically shower crying to start it off, people will know how Dak did.
Right.
It's going to be like Dak show got a season 2 renewal or just got canceled.
Oh, man. Oh, prayers up for Dak.
Speaking of cancellations, we're kind of worried this podcast might be canceled after this episode. So we wanted to get in our favorite streamer of all time, Alex Smith, on the show before we might get the cords cut out from us. So as a spoiler alert, Alex Smith is our second streaming recommendation of the week at QB2.
Yeah, I know that everyone hates Alex Smith when he's favored, and I think it's justifiable. If you look at RotoViz's Game Splits app, it shows that Alex Smith is a better fantasy quarterback when they're underdogs because it forces Andy Reid to throw the ball more, and there is value in that, especially for a guy like Alex Smith who isn't the most efficient quarterback in the league. He's okay, basically, but he does benefit from that extra, those extra dropbacks, and he's not going to have that in this game as they're up against San Diego. And in that game, Kansas City is 7-point favorites there. The over-under is 44.5, which puts Kansas City's implied team total at 25.75. That's actually the eighth highest total on the entire slate for the entire weekend. It's just ahead of, teams like the Atlanta Falcons. Derek Carr's just beneath that. Matthew Stafford is beneath that. Kirk Cousins beneath that. And these are all Eli Manning's beneath that. There are a lot of decent quarterbacks in that range. And Alex Smith's implied team total is above most of them. Looking at Alex Smith, he may not be the most exciting quarterback, but, he does okay in situations where the Chiefs are decent favorites. They've been favored 15 times. They've been 15 games they've been favored by 5 or more with him at quarterback the past 3 years, and he has thrown multiple touchdown passes in 8 of those, and I think he had a 5-touchdown game at one point. There have been a lot of, solid outputs for Alex Smith when his team has been in these situations, and I think that the thing that you get out of Alex Smith is you get kind of that rushing upside too, because he is pretty athletic. He does get some, you know, points with his legs. And last year, going back to it being a weekly game, Sal, he had a lot of top 12 weeks. And I don't think that that's something that's discussed very often.
Well, so, it is on my timeline.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You might not be representative of the Twitterverse, though. But Alex Smith, I mean, he was a solid fantasy quarterback last year, and he does not have the upside that, you know, you'd want for other formats. But if you're streaming in a two quarterback league, he has that floor that I so desperately desire, and that's why I like him a lot in this matchup.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the top 12 weeks. I got my spreadsheet in front of me because it's something I track every week. No, the most top 12 quarterbacks, so we kind of base it on a 12-team league. So top 12 means you're a quarterback one. The most was Tom Brady with 11 last year. I'll let you guess how many Alex Smith had before I give the audience the answer.
Five? Seven?
Well, let's go with your first answer, because that's wrong. Okay. And it's what the most the general public would guess. It would be like low number, four or five. But he had seven top 12 weeks last year.
I knew I had looked at it. I knew it was odd. I just couldn't remember which odd, because I had looked at it.
And I know a lot of people talk about Alex Smith not having a whole lot of upside. But no, here's the guy that finishes the top 12 guys seven times. You mentioned the rushing upside, which is something, you know, our friend Rich Rebar coined with the Konami code and how much of a importance it plays in fantasy football. You know, you can get a cheap quarterback who runs the ball a bit. You know, Alex Smith had the third most rushing yards by a quarterback last year. Cam Tyrod get all the hype because they were the top two guys, but people kind of forget Alex Smith has got, you know, that sneaky rushing ability. Over the past 3 years, he's averaged basically an extra 3 fantasy points per game through the ground, which kind of gives you a nice little boost to his floor, because that's almost an extra passing touchdown per game that Alex Smith is getting you. And if you look at the San Diego Chargers from last year, the quarterbacks that went up against them, there was a few times where they gave up rushing yards to the quarterback. I'm just looking at now, Alex Smith, again, he had a game where he ran for 33 yards one time, 40 yards the next time. That right there, that's 3 to 4 extra fantasy points from your quarterback's position. Mm-hmm. And when you're coming up with decisions on who to stream in your quarterback two slot or who to maybe put into your DFS lineup, Alex Smith is like a good option because he gives you that safe floor from his rushing ability.
Yeah, and I think that the other thing too, going back to the, you know, it being a weekly game, I know that seven without context may not seem like a ton, considering that they're, you know, it's a 15 game sample if we're looking at just, you know, relevant weeks from week one through week 16. It is week 16, 17 is just a dumpster fire. But
no, this is from week 1 to 16. Like, I took week 17 out.
So let's kind of put that in context a bit. Here are guys who did not have seven top 12 weeks. Drew Brees had 6. Matthew Stafford had 6. Tyrod Taylor, who I absolutely adore, and I love Drew Brees too, he had 6. Yep. Jameis Winston had 5, I believe. Yeah, Jameis Winston had 5. Let's see here. Andrew Luck had 4. A lot of that was injury, but, you know, again, Matt Ryan, who I had a weird fling with, I guess, kind of in MFL 10s this summer, he only had 4, which is frightening to look back upon, considering how the rest of my NFL 10 shares have gone. He had 4. But, like, we're looking at, you know, good quarterbacks in Drew Brees, Tyrod Taylor, Matthew Stafford, Jameis Winston. They're all good quarterbacks, and they weren't in the top 12 as consistently as Alex Smith was. So I know that there is this vitriol towards him because he lacks that upside. But if you're looking for a floor, there is no one better for that, I mean, maybe except for, like, you know, those top-tier guys than Alex Smith.
Right, and I know a lot of people, when you mention the word upside in fantasy football, are the quarterbacks you want. Aaron Rodgers usually is the first name mentioned.
Yeah,
the elite
for sure.
Guy with the most upside. He only had 2 more top 12 games last year than Alex Smith did. And Aaron Rodgers was battling Andrew Luck for the first overall pick in 2 quarterback leagues last year, where Alex Smith was basically a late round pick, like he has been year after year after year, but he still has top 15 upside. He's been like, he was QB 13 just 3 years ago.
Yeah, which is, I mean, and you look back upon his like yearly finishes. If you look at the bottom part of Pro Football Reference, they have like the yearly finishes. I don't think he's ever been lower than QB 20 when he's been, you know, like a starter for the entire season. And he's drafted, his ADP was like 25. I'm trying to recall that off the top of my head from Fantasy Football Calculator. He was being drafted well below his floor, which is just bonkers to me.
I mean, in two quarterback leagues, he had an ADP of QB 24 last year.
Okay, yeah.
And then if now we talk a lot about, you know, top 12 finishes because we always want a guy that's going to, you know, boost his way into that top 12 because, you know, if you're not paying for an early quarterback, you want your late streamers to make up that production. But we're still talking about two quarterback leagues. So if you put it from a top 24 perspective, Alex Smith was a QB2 at worst 14 times last year. 14 out of 60. Like, that is a very safe floor.
So why is it, like, he shouldn't be eligible to be a streamer in two quarterback leagues. He should be like 100% owned.
Again,
you're not going to hear that anywhere else. You know, Alex Smith, 100% ownership.
Like, if this was the Matt Harmon Backyard Banter podcast, that would be our one sentence description of the show. Title Alex Smith should be 100% owned in every league.
All hail Alex Smith.
But it goes to that bias against, you know, basically who people think are bad quarterbacks. Now, if they don't like a quarterback in real life, they think he has no use in fantasy football.
Oh, we'll get back to that. We'll be touching on that later.
I think maybe we should rename this show to just bad quarterbacks.
Yeah. Well, hey, Alex Smith is great. Perceived bad quarterbacks.
Perceived bad quarterbacks there. Yeah,
we can't slander the GOAT on your own podcast, Sal.
So. I mean, if that happened, I think, like, not only would this podcast be shut down, my Twitter account would be shut down, the website would just, like, be DDoS attacked.
Yep. You have to burn it down at that point. You had a good run.
Okay. So depending on time each week, we want to focus just like a quick rapid fire section of guys we don't give a whole lot of time to in terms of who we like, in terms of like being the top. No, we won't say Dak and Alex are like the top two, but those are the top two guys we like to recommend. Yeah. So in our rapid fire section, we'll just go through a list of a few guys who we think, you know, if you're struggling of who to start in your QB2 spot, or if you don't have Dax or Alex, this might help you out in terms of lineup construction. So we'll start off here. We mentioned this team earlier, Detroit Lions against Indianapolis Colts, Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, and I think that the reason that Matthew Stafford is down rapid fire is because he's probably not, you know, available for two quarterback streaming too widely. Yeah. But I do think that he's worth a mention here just for general, you know, process purposes, because he does go against our blueprint. You know, we were talking earlier about looking for teams that are favored and at home. And, you know, Matthew Stafford is not favored in this game. Yeah, they're underdogs. They are 3.5-point underdogs to Indianapolis. But the thing that overrides that is the 51 over-under on that game gives Detroit still a respectable implied team total. And you look at that, the matchup that he has without Vontae Davis in there for Indianapolis. And Indianapolis, I believe, was 30th against the pass last year. And that was with Vontae Davis playing 16 games. Even though he was hurt for part of it, he still played in all 16 games. That shows you that this is a team you're going to want to target. So if you do have Matthew Stafford on your team, you should have zero reservations about playing him this week.
And you mentioned, like, the Colts, we've seen they're not a good defense.
Right.
The spread is only 3.5 points, like you mentioned before. It's either a team that's favored or in a close situation. And that's kind of almost like a coin flip in terms of who might win that game. So maybe that might be the opposite of Dak, where the Cowboys had a high implied team total. In this case, the Detroit Lions might have a low implied team total, which could be a way to, you know, take advantage of that situation.
Correct.
You mentioned that a 51-point total over under, like, whenever you see 50 on the scoreboard, your eyes immediately just drawn to that number.
Right. Should be bashing you in the head.
Yeah. No, and you mentioned Stafford might not be a guy that was in the QB2 discussion this year, but his ADP dropped after basically the Calvin Johnson retirement.
Yeah.
You know, last year he was being drafted as a top 12 guy. I have the exact ADP. It might have been even higher. So he was QB12 last year in two QB leagues. This year he was in like the QB18, QB17 range. So that's basically like mid-tier QB2. So there are going to be a lot of people that are going to consider streaming Matthew Stafford. If they listen to my advice during the year, my top streaming duo this year was Tony Romo and Matthew Stafford because their schedules just meshed perfectly.
R.I.P. Tony Romo.
R.I.P. Tony Romo. So if people were listening to my advice, there's going to be a lot of two QBers out there with Matthew Stafford. And once Romo went down, they probably did pick up Dak. So this might be a situation where some are deciding between Dak and Stafford this week.
Yeah, and I think one more quick note on Detroit before we move on to our next one. Going back to, you'd mentioned Pat Thorman before from Pro Football Focus. He was looking at the preseason no huddle rates for various teams. San Francisco's number one. This is a tweet from Pat Thorman again. They were 70% no huddle, but Detroit was second at 62%, and there was no other team above 45%. Like, I know that, like, this should be super blatant, but I don't think this is being discussed enough. Detroit is going to be a high-paced offense. So, I know we're talking about quarterbacks here, but you should be trying to acquire assets in that offense. I don't care who they are. Eric Ebron, I love Amir Abdullah, Theo Riddick, Golden Tate, and, of course, Marvin Jones. Those guys, you need to try to acquire them now before people realize that pace against a bad defense like Indianapolis.
And the offense has been stressing it all offseason that it's going to be a faster offense because it's going to be a different offense with no Calvin Johnson in the lineup anymore. And they have the pieces around it to make that work. And the number you just said, the second fastest team basically with their pace, that is just like, that's fantasy gold sometimes, because the more plays you get, the more chances to throw the ball, the more chances you get to score fantasy points. Like, we like that.
Yes, exactly.
All right, so there you go. We got another recommendation for Stafford this week. Our next player on the board is Brock Osweiler, who you deemed the lower floor version of Alex Smith.
Yeah, I think that that's kind of the way to put it with Brock Osweiler, because their Vegas totals are eerily similar. So Houston's total, or the total in the Houston game, is 44, half point lower than Kansas City. They are favored by 6.5 as opposed to 7, so that's another half point there. And you're looking at Brock Osweiler, and it's another game where he has a good running back, so you assume they're going to be running the ball quite a bit. That kind of puts a dent into his ceiling, but at the same time, against the Chicago Bears defense that ranked 30th against the pass last year, according to NumberFire's metrics, he should have a really good floor. And I think that the only reason that I'm worried about Brock Osweiler's floor and calling him a lower floor Alex Smith is that they are missing their starting center, Nick Martin, who is a rookie, but he was projected to start. And also their left tackle, Dwayne Brown, who got hurt last year and put a big dent into Brian Hoyer's Week 17 game against Jacksonville. That's concerning to me. And I really do put a lot of weight into offensive line health. It derailed Melvin Gordon's season last year, and I really want to focus on that. So I am worried about Osweiler because of that, but I do think that the other things kind of overwhelm that and make him a streamer who I'd be more than willing to start him, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, and the pluses for Brock is gets to throw DeAndre Hopkins.
Yep, correct.
Gets to throw to Lamar Miller. To have Lamar Miller take pressure off him by running the ball. No, we're going to assume more efficient than what they trotted out last year.
That was brutal.
If we go back to the whole top 12 weeks, if you're kind of afraid of Brock Osweiler, don't think he's any good. No, Brian Hoyer and the esteemed Brandon Whedon combined for 5 top 12 weeks in Bill O'Brien's offense last year. Yeah, you heard that right. Brandon Whedon was a top 12 fantasy quarterback in 2016. You might forget that he played for the Texans because he started out on Dallas, but that happened last year. Brandon Whedon not only started for 2 different teams, he was also a top 12 fantasy quarterback in 1 week.
Yeah, and the thing too, the only reason I knew that Dwayne Brown's injury derailed Brian Hoyer in Week 17 is because I loved Brian Hoyer in DFS that week, and I was so jacked for it. And Dwayne Brown got hurt like the first drive of the game, and I just I shut off all television. I gave up. I was like, we're done here. This is over. I was intrigued in that offense quite a bit, and it goes back to the same thing we talked about. Dak, good situation, potentially bad quarterback, but situation really does matter.
Yeah, and like I said, Bill O'Brien doesn't get as much pub as Chip Kelly in the fantasy world, but he's a guy that quarterbacks who play in his offense do produce fantasy football points. Mm-hmm. If you can, here's the quarterbacks that started for the Houston Texans last year: Brian Hoyer, Ryan Mallett, TJ Yates, and Brandon Whedon.
I forgot about TJ Yates.
I think people are still forgetting about TJ
Yates. Eventually locked that one out, I think.
So, if you combine their stats together, you would have gotten the fantasy QB 17 for the year. But one thing that was appealing from that is their 615 pass attempts would have been the 5th most in the league. Yeah. I know, like, we like volume. Sometimes you don't want to place too much of an emphasis on volume. But when you're looking at stats from that group of quarterbacks, you know, Brock Osweiler was a high NFL draft pick who was thrown a lot of money to come start for this team. So it kind of puts a little bit of an uptick in just, like, his value going, like, this week and going forward. So, like, when we talk about bad quarterbacks we don't like, just remember there are stats kind of back it up that he might have a good week.
And the other good thing about that, too, is that they invested pretty heavily in the passing game in the draft, too. And, you know, he's not throwing to Nate Washington or Cecil Shorts. It's Will Fuller, Braxton Miller, and, you know, eventually, I'm sure, Jalen Strong, too. So the receiving corps is better there, and that should help Brock Osweiler even more.
All right, so we'll move on to our third rapid fire of the week. This is JJ's at – oh, wait, no. He looks like JJ. It's Joe Flacco. Okay, yeah, Elite Joe. Here we go.
Yeah, so you have an Alex Smith shirt, Sal. I want a Joe Flacco shirt.
I've made a Joe Flacco shirt. Have you seen the Joe Flacco shirt?
No, I haven't. Okay. I was joking. I didn't know this existed.
Once we get off the air, I will send you the prototype for the Joe Flacco shirt that I made, and you're going to beg JJ to add it to the Living the Street.
Okay. Joe Flacco is like – I know that like I know everyone hates Joe Flacco, but he's – kind of good. So if we're looking, going back to the discussion we had in about top 12 weeks, he was a top 12 fantasy quarterback in half the games he played last year. He only played in 10 games before he had that ACL tear. He was a top 12 quarterback in five of those, which means he had more top 12 fantasy finishes than Andrew Luck, Matt Ryan, Jay Cutler, and Ryan Tannehill, despite playing in, you know, just over half the season, which is just like, it's mind-blowing to me. Like, people hate Joe Flacco.
And you can't use the injury argument with Andrew Luck because they were both injured.
Correct. Exactly. Which is like, it's insane to me. But I mean, you know, Flacco last year was a really good fantasy asset. And the other thing he has going in his favor here is that he is at home and he is favored over the Buffalo Bills. Looking at that game, Baltimore favored by 3 points in that one, over under 44.5. That gives Baltimore an implied team total of 23.75, which is respectable, but it's also the exact same as that of the Detroit Lions, and it's above Kirk Cousins and Washington as well. And the favored part of that is big for Flacco because, again, looking at the RotoViz game splits app, over the past 3 years, Flacco has averaged 1.68 touchdowns per game when Baltimore has been favored, and that drops to 0.93, almost a full touchdown per game when they're an underdog. So this really is a good spot for Joe Flacco. And the other advantage you get with Flacco is if you pick him up now, his schedule the next 4 weeks is absurd. It's so good. So I think that I would be inclined to take Flacco maybe over others just because he has multi-week viability given the schedule that Baltimore has, and also just generally a good offense considering all that they've invested in it the past couple of years.
Yeah, if like every single one of those weapons is like healthy to start the year, might be a big if, but he's locked and loaded to have one of the best offensive pass weapon stables around him in the whole NFL. And you know, people kind of forget that, like you mentioned, he was basically a fantasy QB1 in 50% of his games last year. You know, recency bias plays a part into us just forgetting about Joe Flacco. The schedule, that's a nice bonus point for people that are considering maybe if Joe Flacco's available on their QB2 or their 2 QB league waiver wire, which, you know, is a possibility based on his ADP this year in two quarterback leagues. But, you know, he's got Buffalo this week, and Cleveland, Jacksonville, Oakland, Washington, the Giants, the Jets. It's going to be a tough one. But then back Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Dallas. Like, that's a schedule that sets up nicely for pretty much the entire season.
It's a lot of points.
And that's a guy that you basically just had to use, like, a late-round pick on. Like, he was going in, like rounds 10, 11, 12, 13 in two quarterback leagues. Like, it was kind of crazy this year.
Yeah, and, like, I guess Flacco's early season schedule is so good that I considered drafting him in one quarterback leagues where I wanted to, like, commit to streaming. And, you know, I know that I've seen other people talking about him. Evan Silva is – I've seen a couple of tweets from him. I don't know if he'd want to be associated with this, but he has, you know, he has talked up the Baltimore offense a couple of times on Twitter. Evan knows eons more about fantasy than I do, and if he's at least lukewarm on it, then I'm okay with it.
Like I said, we mentioned his schedule. We mentioned this week he's a good QB2 streamer. If you go down the list of all the people that know are supposed to play wide receiver and tight end for that team,
right,
it's pretty deep.
Yeah, it hurts to lose Ben Watson because they put a lot of money into him in this offseason, and that was kind of part of my line of thinking in liking Flacco over the offseason. But still, I mean, you know, with Steve Smith practicing, with Breshad Perriman practicing, with Mike Wallace in there now, and then adding in Kamar Aiken, who was very good last year, both before Steve Smith went down and then after as well, that's a really good receiving corps, and I think that we need to pay attention to that.
And there's a good chance we'll be talking about Joe Flacco again and again and again on this
absolutely
podcast, until the point where he's graduated like Tyrod and living the street last year.
We can only hope.
One quarterback we probably will be talking about in terms of recommending him as a streamer going forward, but this week we're recommending him that you let him stay on your bench, is Philip Rivers. So let's go over this one quickly for the audience out there. He has an implied team total of 18.75 points, which according to the number fire helper here is the fourth lowest on the slate. And the only guys ahead of him are Jay Cutler, Robert Griffin III, and Ryan Tannehill. So if you kind of look at that tier, it's a little bit of a scary emoji face.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, I mean, in general, I love Philip Rivers. And I think that, especially at the start of the offseason, before things started to correct a bit, he was being criminally underdrafted in both one quarterback and two quarterback leagues. I know Josh of your website is a huge Philip Rivers fan, and I've had a couple of Twitter conversations with him about this very subject. And overall, I think Philip Rivers is underrated. I just think this is a really bad situation for him. Looking at that implied team total of 18.75, what Vegas is saying there is that San Diego is expected to score about, you know, two touchdowns and maybe a field goal. And that's like, that's really scary for a quarterback because they are so touchdown dependent. And he's going to be facing a lot of negative game script with the Chiefs favored by 7 points. That's a bit scary too. And the Chiefs defense was very good last year. They were one of the top 10 teams according to NumberFire's metrics last year. Fourth against the pass last year based on those. And it just kind of lines up where even though we do like Philip Rivers overall and we like him long term, he's a guy where if I were playing in a two quarterback lead and had other options, he would almost definitely be on my bench in this matchup and with what Vegas is saying about him.
Yeah, this is like one of those situations where you got to wrap your mind around drafting a quarterback that you use the high pick on. Now, he was only going at low in the sixth round with two quarterback leagues, but he's still a top 12 drafted fantasy quarterback. So when you're looking at your roster and at the end of the draft, like, oh, yeah, I got Philip Rivers. He's my QB1, even though I draft him basically as a QB2. And you're like, oh, that's so awesome. My team is going to be the best ever. But then you come into week one and you see the situation. Like, okay, well, he's playing against the Chiefs who, you know, most people kind of know the Chiefs have been like a good fantasy defense. So they think that's a real life good defense. And in this case, yeah, that's true. Like the Chiefs have a pretty tough defense. It's like, okay, so now am I going to be benching my QB1?
Right.
Like it's a hard mentality to get around, and that's what we're kind of hoping with this podcast is to get to the point where, like, okay, I'm going to bench Phil Rivers. I don't care. like that's the way we want you to kind of think about this. Like, we want you to obviously put the research into it, but we want to make sure that, you know, you have the tools at your disposal to make a sound decision. And in this case, you know, we are recommending that you bench Phil Rivers for the reasons Jim has laid out. I know I was scrolling through Twitter today where I tend to find a lot of useful information. Jared Schmola of Draft Sharks, you can find him on Twitter at Schmola DS, S-M-O-L-A. He just put out this innocent tweet. Said, Philip Rivers hasn't thrown a touchdown in Kansas City since 2013. His last two trips there, he's thrown for under 300 yards both times. And zero touchdowns and three interceptions.
Whew.
So, like, that's something like, okay, the evidence and the history supports benching Philip Rivers. You don't want to bench your fantasy QB1. You might not have a better option, but if you do have a better option, maybe you lucked out onto, you know, Dak Prescott on the waiver wire as a late round pick. It's like you look at, okay, am I going to bench the guy I spent a sixth round pick on for a guy I might have picked up off the waiver wire? But those are the weekly decisions you're going to be making in a two quarterback league, which we hope that you end up doing. So in this case, yes, bench Philip Rivers for Dak Prescott.
Yeah, and I think that is worth mentioning at least, and this is something that JJ Zacharyson, you know, from NumberFire brought up when we were talking earlier this week, is that Philip Rivers is a good enough real world quarterback where he can overcome a negative game script like he's facing this week against Kansas City, but in a fantasy sense, there's still enough there to kind of make you worry enough where I'd want to bench him. And again, if anyone can do it, Philip Rivers is criminally underrated. He is a very efficient quarterback. He is one of those guys who could do it. I just, you know, I'd rather look elsewhere in this matchup.
Yeah, and like I said, Philip Rivers is a good quarterback, so he can't overcome the match. Any quarterback can overcome a good matchup, or I mean a bad matchup. So like any like bad quarterback could have a good matchup.
Right.
But like that's just the inverse. It does happen. If we kind of flip it around in terms of like we talk top 12 weekly performances by fantasy quarterbacks, if we look at it in terms of top 12 fantasy quarterback performances allowed by defenses last year, the Chiefs only allowed 3. The only teams that allowed fewer than that last year were Carolina and St. Louis.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's frightening. I didn't Denver allowed. Denver, like, Denver's not on the list.
Denver's tied right there where it's 3. But I say, Carolina and St. Louis were the only ones that allowed less than Kansas City, Arizona, and Denver last year.
That's insane. Yeah. Wow. What a... All right. Well, yeah, I guess I'm set.
Like, well, we weren't going to talk about this because we wanted to focus more on Rivers, but no, Cam Newton's another guy that's getting a lot of pub this week about being benched. No, he does play Denver. We know how good that Denver defense is. I just mentioned they only gave up 3 top 12 performances last year. They only gave up 10 top 24 performances. That was like the third fewest compared to Cincinnati, the Jets, and Seattle. So there's another guy you might want to consider benching this week. Like, he is Cam Newton. Like, he could obviously overcome Denver, but we saw just how good that defense is. But we want to focus more on Philip Rivers because,
more realistic to potentially. Yeah, for sure.
All right, so there, we'll give a quick rundown. Our top 2 streaming recommendations for your QB2 slot this week are, Dak Prescott. as I've seen people on Twitter call him.
It's crazy. Never too early to anoint someone as the greatest of all time.
No, the kids are crazy nowadays. I mean, I can't call anybody other than Tyrod Taylor Ty Goat. Like, he's the only person right now.
Right.
Like, I'm going to have to figure out when that's going to stop happening because I am also 33 years old. And after that is our good friend, good friend,
yes.
Alex Smith. I'm not sure if anybody else wants to call Alex their friend.
I absolutely would. He's a saint.
And then, if you don't have those options, we mentioned our rapid-fire section with Matthew Stafford, Brock Oswald, and, the elite Joe Flacco. And again, we just mentioned Philip Rivers as the quarterback we would consider benching if we had better options. So that kind of wraps up our first podcast here of the QB2 streaming experience. This has been presented by 2QBs.com. You can find that on the interwebs at TWOQBS.com. I am Salvatore Stefanelli. You can find me on Twitter at 2QBFFB. Jim, why don't you let the audience know where they can find you on Twitter and where they can read your work?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at Jim Sannes, JIMSANNES. And then all of my work is over on numberfire.com.
Perfect. And that is going to wrap up our show for the week, everybody. Thanks for listening, and let's live the QB2 stream. We gotta stay positive. We gotta